Good morning, Australia. Good evening, America. You're listening to Radio Tony, and I'm your host, Tony Lontis. This is the Everyday Business Show, and each week I'm joined by different hosts taking a different perspective on business. My co-host today is Oksana Johnson, an NLP expert and someone who can help you create the life you dream, the business you dream, and all things in between. Every business has a story. Every business has something to say. Join us each week, Radio Tony, Everyday Business, and Oksana Johnson. Now, let's get on with the show, and I'll introduce you to my amazing host, Oksana Johnson. Thanks for listening. Good morning, Australia, and good evening, America. Sorry, I was just about to laugh because Oksana was about to sneeze. You're listening to Radio Tony, Everyday Business. I'm your host, Tony Lonis, and this week I'm joined again by the amazing Oksana Johnson. Now, just for those listening, just a reminder that you can actually join our Zoom call today if you so desire. You don't have to show your face, but if you'd like to ask a question, we'd love to hear from you. And also the call numbers to call the show in our social media, which has been put up, and we're going to get live on this show. So today's show is largely unscripted, and who knows Yay. Where Oksana and I will go today with this conversation. I've had lots of amazing conversations with different people this week, and in particular a wonderful group of healers that help me every week, one of which is an NLP practitioner, and talking lots about timeline therapy and how it works and how NLP changes the way our brain thinks about things and the power of NLP to help your brain do that. So Oksana is an expert in this realm. So I'm going to hand over to Oksana to do a little bit more explaining about this subject of NLP. Over to you, Oksana.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Tony. It's my pleasure again to be in here. Unfortunately, time flies when you're having fun, and this is our last for this kind of the sequence of four show, but you know, I'm really looking forward that we'll be able to do something quite soon. But by taking the opportunity just to kind of tap into what we've discussed, you know, and to revamp it in a way.
Yes,
it's just literally NLP, the reason why I do what I do and the reason why I'm such an advocate, because I think some of you guys remember from the first original show, it's purely based on personal experiences, and I'm one of those people that if it doesn't work for me and if I haven't tried it, I'm not gonna be promoting it in a way or even talking about it, because it's really worthwhile. You know, it's all about the story and the journey and the opportunities. And you know, as I think I've mentioned before, I love humans, I love stories. I'm definitely a fan of human stories, because you know, on a massive collective level, that's how we all connect, because it's all about connection, really. And we think sometimes that cultures can and borders can divide us, you know, and we can be very different. But ultimately, we are so similar and very, very the same, in a sense of what we really want is just to be happy, right? Just those basic kind of and it is so important, because that happiness, it you know what? I've chased, I would say, happiness in my 20s. The entire 10 years of self-discovery through my 20s, as I refer to it, you know, it was quite painful at times, because, you know, I would probably refer to my life as a journey, and it's a book of my life, right? Sometimes we want to skip chapters or paragraphs, but unfortunately, it's not how it works. Not even unfortunately, just it doesn't work like that. We need to, you know, we need to live through every paragraph and every word. And sometimes it can be quite, you know, it's not all rainbows and butterflies and unicorns, you know, it's not that at all. It's like we need to do the work, the inner work. We need to live through experiences that ultimately make us who we are now. And it's all about how we look at things. Do you know what? I think I mentioned it originally. My life literally changed to before and after. Like, you know, some people yes. get eyebrows done, right? And like, it's the life changed before and after they got eyebrows done. Like, it's for me, it was before and after I came across the concept of NLP. And at first, it was more, I don't know, I think there were no expectations. It was just interesting and curious what can come out of it. And when I did experience the first step of it, like literally, I'm repeating myself, but like I have not felt so clean and congruent ever in my life. Like everything just matters. And this is when I kind of realized that, do you know what? It's all about the things that we can control, right? Not focusing on the things what we can't control. And this is like, I'm sure everyone can relate, you know, I'm just a perfectionist. This is the way I am. Well, fuck it. You know, just don't do it because it's just exhausting. You can, you know, if it works for you, but just can you imagine for a second a whole different type of reality where it just going
to
be a tad
to have things perfect
or just tad easier to live? Just can you imagine? Yep. Just can you imagine that reality where you actually allow yourself to be a human and it's okay?
And allow yourself and make mistakes.
Exactly. And it's just like how liberating just the thought of it. And it's just a matter of, I know if you've never actually experienced it, it sounds probably borderline annoying. Like, you know, what are you talking about? This is how I live my life. Well, you know what, cupcake? Just give it a go, you know? And this is kind of like tapping into the good old concept of you don't know what you don't know. But as soon as you just open yourself to the possibility of life being a little bit different, how cool is that? Just be curious. Yes. You know what fascinates me? Watching kids. I don't have kids myself, human kids. I have a fur baby. I have a cat.
Yes.
But when I watch human kids, like lots of my friends have kids, the fascination comes from simplicity of the way they live their life. And do you know what? This is one day. We all used to be like that. The entire, it was just so simple. And even like, you know, they are happy because it's a puddle. And what a great idea. Yes. Let's just like swim in a puddle. And what do adults do is just like, oh my God, get out of there. You're going to be dirty. But just like, this is how they
wash your clothes.
Exactly. But this is how we explore the world. And it's just fascinating. If we just tone it down a bit, even when for some reason perfectionism comes up with the flow and we are going with the flow, so this is what we're going to, you know, I'm going to go with as well.
Yes.
But just imagine yourself when you are, you know, in that state and tap into yourself. Very, very easy to do it when we eliminate one of our senses, which is our vision. So just close your eyes and literally connect with the breath. Connect with the breath. And just, you know, even sometimes I say even connect with your heartbeat. If you can't locate your heartbeat straight away, just put your hand, or you can't see, I'm wearing too much scarf. Just put your hand on your heart and just connect with yourself.
Yes.
And then also then listen to that voice, that internal dialogue, what you are telling yourself. Whose voice is it? Is it even you? Like, if it is you, how old are you? Is it you currently? Is it the old you? And just try, and again, this is, we are tapping into our good old friends 3 A's, right? Tapping into that awareness. Yeah. Just take a breather. Create that awareness. What is actually going on for you? For what purpose are you being this hectic self? And that actually, while we're kind of at it, again, what's coming up is good old presuppositions of NLP, one of them. Every behavior has a positive intention. Every behavior has a positive intention. Most likely it is there to protect you in some way, right? Oh, we have Jen Lewis. I'm excited.
Yay,
I'm just going to quickly finish. Yeah. I'm just going to quickly finish in terms of that. Just tapping in into that awareness and understanding. Oh, I didn't finish my train of thought. I got too excited about Jen Lewis. Okay. Hello, Jen. Every behavior has a positive intention. Most likely it's there to protect you in a way, right? And as soon as you just break it down, what is it there? What's the highest intention? Just have a chat, you know, have a chat to that thing of what's coming up. But anyway, I'm excited. Jen. Hi, Jen. How are you doing?
Are we going to unmute Jen? So she, yep, there we go. Hello, Jen.
Hey.
Can I call you back in a second?
We can't hear Jen.
Okay. All right,
that's
bye.
Okay. That's okay. Oh, I thought you were calling us back in a second. I'm like, okay.
This subject of perfectionism is one that lots of people are reluctant to talk about. And I know from personal experience that I beat myself up when I make mistakes. And as much work as I've done on my perfectionism, I still beat myself up when I make mistakes. And so life without beating yourself up over mistakes is a different life. And I've realized that as I've gone along, but it's quite difficult to let go of the perfection traits that some people have, isn't it, Oksana?
Do you know what? Totally hear you. But again, it's not perfect. It's a practice. And that's the thing. Like, we implement little things on an everyday basis after we've created that awareness. So when you say that it is hard, I totally hear you. As I talk to so many, you know, I say to so many clients, I wish I had a magic wand to make it all better. I honestly, if I did, oh, it would be epic. But unfortunately, I don't. Or maybe even fortunately, because you know what? When something happens very quickly, we don't appreciate it as much. When you do put in a little bit of work and you know exactly what you want and for what purpose, and, you know, along the way you can discover that purpose, it all makes it much more sense. But just to, again, to align it with another presupposition of NLP, it's all about there is no failure, only feedback. There is no failure, only feedback. It's how you look at things. And I've noticed, and I can totally relate to your, you know, the concept of perfectionism. I remember being in high school, it was all like, you know, growing in Russia, raised by Russian family. Again, there is no, you know, it's, I totally get it. There is no, they did the best they could with the resources they had, right? Yes. Because they've lived in their reality. But it was all about higher, faster, stronger. It was like, we've achieved this. What's next? What's next? What's next? It's never about, you know, the concept of let's just slow down and smell the roses. I think Jen is here. I'm just not sure. Hi, Jen.
Hi. Sorry, I've had audio issues before.
Oh, good. Sorry, we didn't want to just like make you wait.
But yeah, no, that's okay.
Tell us a story. Where are you from, Miss Jen?
I'm from Brisbane, Australia.
Breezy. Good to have you. Thank you for tuning in. Is there something that you wanted to ask?
Hey.
Is there something that you wanted to ask, or you're just happy to
I really wanted to come on board today because I've seen all your shows since you've been doing them with Tony, and I've really just loved listening in, to be honest. They're really quite insightful.
That's so lovely. Thank you.
Relatable. So, yeah, no super big questions or anything, but, just along for the ride.
Amazing.
I love listening to you guys talk.
Amazing. Sounds good. Okay. Wonderful.
We actually, that's some of the beauty of live radio. Oksana and I are like joined intellectually or we flow and the talk is easy and she bounces off me and I bounce off her and we end up with a wonderful conversation about the power of NLP. And as Oksana knows, I've had ELP. I've had NLP before, and I often go back to it to try and manage some of those things that go on in my head. So it doesn't matter how far you get in life or what you achieve in life. I think that there was always room for growth, and I know that for me, that's where NLP has helped me. And Oksana, it was your diagnosis with depression that got you into NLP, was it?
That's right. Yeah. So it was all about, for me, as we kind of touched upon, NLP has three different areas, the major ones, right? So it's all about the state management. It's about the goal setting and strategy. And then there is a part of it of communication, creating rapport and actually conveying the message in a way that it's going to be heard, not just heard, but understood. For me, it was definitely on the state management side because, you know, it was quite... I don't know, depression for, it's just a label, right? Like it's just a word. And yes, I think it's a diagnosis. It's so easy to put someone in a box with that name, but everyone experiences it in a very different way. Do you know, like your reality might be so different to my reality, and the journey of the feels are so different. And to me, it was exhausting. Like, you know, it's just, to me, it was all about not being able to do all the things that I wanted to do, just because getting out of bed was, it was a mission. It was a mission. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, another thing, which is, I don't think we're actually talking about this, but, you know, we might as well, it came up, happy to share. Yeah. It's all about that state management, not in a very resourceful way with substance abuse, right? Because when you feel like crap, like, well, let's, you know, let's change it. And we're humans, we've mentioned it as well. We kind of follow the easier routes because we're lazy, and it's okay. Like, again, I'm not saying this in a prejudiced way, just... And it's much easier to soothe or not feel rather than actually to address it in a more resourceful way. The interesting thing here, though, again, you don't know what you don't know. Before I learned NLP, I just did not know enough tools. How can I change that? And all of that toxic positivity of people are telling me, well, fucking go for a walk. I'm like, well, you know what? You fucking go for a walk. Like, I just don't know. No, I am in bed. And this is what's happening. I'm camping out in bed because this is what it is. And all of those people, when they have, you know, suggestions of what you should do and what, and it's like, well, awesome. You know, this is great, but it's not really, I cannot. Like, it's so hard to explain to someone when you're so tired that it hurts inside so much that you definitely just have no energy to do anything and you don't know how to soothe it, otherwise, you know, have a bottle of wine, for instance, which is not cool.
Yeah. But, you know,
this is when I am, you know, more and more cannot highlight enough. When you know better, you can do better. When you know more, you can do better. You know, no one can read your mind, but also it's all about that. If I, and again, I cannot, I think it's all about bringing it back to very personal kind of, you know, memories and space. But if only I had, those tools then,
Yeah, and sometimes it's about just giving yourself permission to stay in bed for that day.
Absolutely.
Know, sometimes it's just about, okay, I'm over the world, I'm going to stay in bed today, and that's actually okay because I'm human and I feel crappy today and this is what works for me today. But if it goes on longer, then it becomes worse, number one, and it becomes an impact on your life, which is not always great,
Well, and this is what I refer to my great, amazing spiral, right? Like when you're when I was spiraling down, because it's so much easier, that compounding effect of energy, it's something, you know, with negativity and with negative stuff, it's much, it happens much quicker than with positive stuff. Just, again, connection to NLP, as soon as I learned those tools and why I became an advocate, right? Because it's not rocket science, it's so simple and it works. And the beauty of it is that I don't need to, and my job as, you know, an NLP coach and psychotherapist is that I have the knowledge and my job is to inspire change. My job is to share the tools, the same as I've learned them myself, and I didn't know them before, but I know how my life changed. And my job is to share those tools, literally everyday tools. And this is when I do my discovery sessions, when we identify where, you know, where the person is and where they would like to be and what is something that's holding them back, right? So are there some limitations, beliefs, actions, behaviors, anything that's stopping you from being the better version of yourself? We can address that with those tools, right? The same as we can build resources, you know, in terms of sales, in terms of public speaking. If that's something that you need to be able to convey the message and you need that self-esteem and confidence, we can build it for you. Because it's all about tapping in into those to the beautiful unconscious space, because you know you have all the answers, only you do. And this is when, you know, we live, and it's not, again, it's not good or bad. It's just the baseline of your existence at that time. Whatever it is that you're going through, it's just literally building up the journey that's yet to come.
Yeah.
But it's how you look at things. Because I remember, I think I'm going to like jumping off that perfectionism stuff.
Yes, yes.
I remember how, you know, how exhausting it was to try and be perfect. And then it also kind of ventured out a little bit into the OCD aspect. OCD aspect for me was cleaning, right? I remember I used to have this lots of glass. Like I went through phase, I think we all do sometimes, like glass table, glass, like mirrors and stuff, right? And like glass table. And it was supposed to be perfect, always. And I was just like, literally, I remember just doing these ones, like wax on, wax off, like literally. But that was just me every morning. And it was so, it actually created a massive issue for me because, again, like it's all about, like we need to ask the question, what's reasonable? It's nice to live in a clean place. Don't get me wrong. I love my space.
Yeah.
But also when it's holding you back, like I was fucking always late to work, like massively. And then it's just like, why do you have to explain yourself? And then you can't really tell people that, you know, you are wiping your glass table every morning. That sounds a bit ridiculous.
Yes.
But
yeah,
it's all about those acknowledging the behaviors that literally without, but that's the thing exactly, Tony, as you were saying about staying in bed. It's all about the second A, which is acceptance. Right. So when you are aware of it and you're accepting it, sit with it, understand it. Why is it there? What is it trying to tell you? What is it trying to, exactly. What is it trying to do for you? If you're not listening to yourself, this is actually another very interesting thing. All of those emotions, they are bottling up in your body, and that's when we get sick. You know, all of that, you know, the immune diseases and all of those amazing things as viruses and whatnot. It's literally you're bottling it up in yourself. The body's not able to process it. And then the body, that's how the body is communicating with you that, hey, it's time to tap in and check in how we're doing. So if you do have some of the chronic illnesses or migraines or whatever that is, that's like backaches, headaches, whatever that is. Just listen to your body. The body is trying to tell you something. Like instead of popping another Panadol or a Nurofen, just understand why is it there. And also most likely when you have this constructive conversation with yourself, what is it trying to tell you? Is it probably time to slow down and, you know, do a bit more of self-care? But it's not just realizing that you need to do it. Just fucking do it. Like, you know, just knowing about it, it's not going to really help you, will it? Just...
No.
Create.
Do something.
That's right. Yeah, because that's another thing. We, and I'm a true believer, we have so many thoughts in our, you know, so it kind of like connecting to the concept of New Year's resolutions when we are, you know, we're determined, we have so many goals, they're all in our head. It's all about, it's still a fantasy. Like when it's in here, it still stays a fantasy. You need to get it out of there and put it on paper and make it a plan. And create a vision and actually understand how much do you really want it, you know?
Yeah.
I think
we've got the lovely Wendy McQuinty on the line as well. Good morning, hey, Wendy.
Oh, good morning, Tony. How are you today? Good morning, Oksana.
Morning.
Wendy, meet Oksana. Do you have any questions, Wendy?
No questions at the moment. I was a bit late coming in. Sorry, I got involved with some research I was doing, so I do apologise for that. But no, enjoying the conversation that's happening. I'm a mind strength coach for children, so I like all the interesting facts about the mind. Actually, you said something about a thought, and I was just going to say that we have 55 thoughts a minute, 79,200 thoughts per day. Wow. Isn't that incredible?
Right.
When you put it in those terms, that is pretty incredible, isn't it? I didn't realize. Well, I thought my brain was like that, but I wasn't sure everyone else's.
And this is just a thought. Can you imagine what's happening with our internal dialogue when we're talking to ourselves on top of that?
Yes.
And this is when, you know, we need to actually, and then we wonder why are we exhausted all the time, because it's just like too much energy is spent on those, you know, not very resourceful, negative self-talk. Just can you imagine for a second, again, how much more energy you would have when you are, when you will be living in peace and harmony with your inner self?
Yeah.
How cool could that be?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful.
Wendy, do children have the same amount of thoughts? Do they have more or less thought patterns than adults?
No, it's that research was based on everybody.
Okay.
Everybody.
Mm, yeah. Yes, which is incredible. I mean, when you think about it, as Oksana was saying about the depression and all of that, it's what are those negative thoughts are you taking on? And that's what we've got to stop and get people to realize. Let's change these negative thoughts that are coming in and making them positive.
Yeah.
And your whole outlook on life is just elevated. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah. The power of reframer.
Yeah. Sorry, Oksana. I'm not sure that people realize or are conscious of the negativity of some of their thoughts and self-talk, because I know that I wasn't aware of how negatively I spoke to myself until I started my journey into self-discovery and healing. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could teach kids from a young age to think consciously about their thoughts and start that process at a young age, instead of like me learning about it in my 40s, or like you, Oksana, learning about it in your 20s and 30s? Like, wouldn't that be wonderful, Wendy?
Oh, definitely. I think the children don't understand how to think, and they don't understand what they're thinking about, and you become what you think about. So we have to actually make them aware. They all got these wonderful talents and abilities locked up inside them, but they're not aware of it. So by thinking, changing the way they think about themselves, improve their self-image, they they can achieve so much more. And they don't succumb then to cyberbullying or, you know, using alcohol as a way of masking the way they feel. So we just want them to be positive young children, to grow up to be positive adults and achieve greatness.
It's quite interesting. Like, in addition to that, I could, what's coming up, just going with the flow, is kids are sponges, and it's all about, they are looking, you know, the good old leading by example, right? Like, and that's why it's so important. Yes. What they do, they model behavior, right?
Yes,
and that's definitely. When whatever is happening around, being us so collective, they're just, you know, how are the adults or people around are dealing with things? Mm-hmm. What is it with that state management? I think slowly, not in many, like, I am in love with the concept of Montessori, in a say of it's not like schooling, right? So when kids actually, again, going from the point of we know from birth what we are because of the code and because of the unconscious, right? So only we know. Mm-hmm. And rather than putting those labels and the different paradigms on the kids, what you have to do because of society, it's all about that, almost like that, I think it's Asian, I think it's the Buddhist way of raising kids as well, when they reach out to what they're interested in. You know, if they want to paint, they paint. They want to, like, build whatever the things they do. And it's all about acknowledging, just giving space, you know, direction. Yes. Wendy, I'm totally with you on that, that it's all about that direction. I would always say, like, direction / inspiration. I'm still, I like, I don't know, like, even just the way the word sounds, inspiration, curiosity, how you inspire them. Like, you show the way, you show them the way, you give them the tools, and they choose, right? Yeah. So it's almost like you educate them, giving options, and you show them the world. Again, I'm repeating myself, but what again came to mind in terms of that, you know, creating positive thinking even in kids and creating self-awareness, because sometimes they just don't know. All of those emotions are so new to them. They don't know how to process them. That's why there are tantrums, right? Because this is the only way it needs to come out. Instead of sending kids into detention in schools, why not we implement, like, a few of them do meditation, right? So instead of putting someone in a corner, why not, and making it so negative of that you're punished, why not reframe it into something much more positive, like a self-discovery process? Like, why don't you, when, if not now, is going to be a good time to go and actually understand what made you do it, you know? What, like, whatever, if they misbehaved or whatever that is, you know? Just, like, literally starting that self-inquiry, and that's beautiful. Absolutely.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree. Mm. And as you said before, children mimic their parents. You know, if we can get the children to change their way of thinking, they're the ones that's actually going to tell the parents, hey, mum or dad, you're thinking a bit negative here. Let's turn it around. We've got to start getting the children to teach the parents. So it's all reversed, really.
Interesting.
Well,
it needs to start from somewhere. And again, right, it's all about the catalyst, what's going to be that catalyst for that journey. And I guess whatever it is, hopefully it's going to come sooner rather than later. Yeah.
I remember reading referring back to Wendy, I remember reading some research about groups of school children that were introduced to I think it was meditation and yoga in their classroom, and the long-term research suggested that they were better adjusted as adults from those practices being introduced when they were at school. And I'm wondering, because I'm a bit out of the school area, my kids are long grown up, I'm wondering if many schools actually do those things, have those practices, have those conversations about making them aware that you can change the way you think, and that there's so much power in our minds to change our lives. Does anyone know what, you know, Wendy? Those practices?
Yes, I have come across a couple of schools. I think you have to look outside the normal public school system. As Oksana said, you're looking at Montessori and Steiner schools or the religious private schools. They are starting to incorporate a little bit of meditation, and also they get children to write in their gratitude diary, which I think is amazing, because the children then realise, oh, I've got so much to be grateful for, instead of saying, I want, you know. So it's in a few schools, it is a little bit coming in, yes.
It's actually just the conversation around that emotional intelligence, right? And this concept is so, like, again, I'm not complaining, I'm just sharing how it was growing up in Russia. Like, and we are so just proud of being that Russian soul, you know, the tortured emotional, this just like, this just feels all over it. And I was before, I would never forget this, at the one of my beginning of the trainings with NLP stuff, my coach at the time, Heidi Heron, I was not ready to let go of my sense of identity of that Russian soul, because I was so proud that I'm so emotional. Like, it was just like that I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve, and I'm like, just this feels, you know, just crying and anger and like, but this is me. Like, the concept was, but this is me, and I don't want to lose myself. And then she told me, she was like, well, Oksana, that's fine. Like, but can you imagine how it would be liberating and more resourceful just to become a better version of you? You still can be you, but it's just the choice of what is it, something that's serving you, or is it something that's holding you back? And I kind of tapped back in, and I'm like, wow, I've never thought of it this way, because again, when it's all around and it's all the same, right? And it's all, we all act the same way. But as soon as you even allow yourself the thought of that it can be different, and it's okay to be different, and it's okay to live your life. Again, how liberating and inspiring is that, just to allow that thought, even to, and then obviously with all the changes that are yet to come. But yeah, emotional intelligence, absolutely. I don't think it's enough, you know. Again, in the school system, I remember doing trigonometry and like geometry and all of those things, and algebra. Do you know what? It's great. And I know that probably my brain was developed in a more analytical, whatever way, because of those disciplines. But just basic emotional intelligence studies, like how to deal with this. you know, with yes. this. And then as soon as you yes. know how to do with this, how to deal with this. I mean, yes. that would have been epic. Like, how cool would that be? Yeah, I think it definitely should. Oh, yeah.
I totally agree.
Yes, Wendy, I'm hoping that some of these, let's call it the new consciousness, I'm really yep. hoping that that starts to transfer to the younger generations and to school kids, because, gosh, can you imagine what our Earth and what humanity would be like if we raised a whole worldwide generation of conscious, emotionally intelligent children? Can you imagine what that would be like?
I think it sounds like revolution, but yeah.
Yeah.
Enlightenment, revolution.
Enlightenment, yes. Well,
I get the feeling that this is maybe why we have COVID.
I really think that is
causing us to be reflective. It's causing a lot of humanity to reflect on the way they live and what life is for them. And conversely, there's a whole range of people that are fighting against that. And I have this theory that that's where the conspiracy and the people that say, you know, COVID is a scam, I think that is them fighting against an enlightenment or an increased consciousness that is sweeping across the world for many people who are willing to look at themselves and say, am I living my best life? Am I being the best human that I can possibly be? And for those that are fighting those questions, there's angst and anger and uprising. I don't know. That's just a bit of my theory for COVID at the moment.
I think it's definitely given us opportunity to slow down. Depends. Okay, there are two kind of ways of looking at COVID, right? Obviously from politics yes. side and all of those shenanigans, yes. like we are, you know, the government is against us and stuff. But also there is the other yes. stuff of spirituality. So each to their own in terms of the belief system that mm-hmm. you have. But I think we all cannot deny, and we would agree, that it's definitely given us time to slow down and reflect
yes.
on what the old ways of living. Because, you know, we say it was normal. Well, fuck, it was not normal. Like being busy and not enough time and just like yeah. what are our priorities? Let's just literally yeah. check in those values, and are they being met? What are yeah. the priorities in a sense of what's important to you? And I think it's such a putting things into perspective as always. Do you know what? I actually, again, what's coming up, just had before we jumped on this, the call, had a chat with another lady. And anyway, the thought that she came across, and I always connect with people, and I'm, as I said, love human stories, yes. absolutely. And the stories of how we deal with COVID and state management and all of those things are so interesting to each and every individual. And the point what she brought up was, can you just imagine, instead of fighting it, just imagine for a second yes. that this is here for a while. So we are all kind yes. of living with this perception of, well, this is going to pass. Okay, maybe, but when? Is it going to be a year? Is it going to be 5? Is it going to be a decade? What if it doesn't? And I'm like, wow. I actually have not literally, again, the power of reframe, I have not even
yes.
thought of it on that level. But it is so big. Yep. Like literally, just imagine, and this is, we need to become flexible and we need to make the best yes. out of this new norm, whatever norm, real, yes. our reality.
Yeah.
Because we don't know yes. what's going to happen and we just really need to yeah. make the best of it. Yeah, just yeah. wanted to share that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like to think of things in alternate ways. So if this, if this is going to hang around for a while, what does international travel look like? What does the way that I do business look like? What does that mean going forward? And I like to explore what that might look like because, again, I have a creative brain and it likes to be challenged and it likes to do things out of the norm. So yep. My perspective is always to think about the other side rather than fight it, because I don't think fighting and rallying against things brings about a helpful solution. I think it's much better to sit, reflect and go, okay, well, what if we did it this way? Or what if I looked at it this other way? Would that make a difference? And I'm not sure that everyone is doing that. Again, I think that there's that rallying against what they don't want to accept. And from my perspective, my science and rational brain would say that this is probably going to go on longer than we thought. And yes, it's good to keep people positive and it's good for them to think that there is an end. But at the end, I don't think we'll ever go back to what it was, because we've had that time of enforced stopping and being at home and being locked down. And I'm hoping that out of this time of being locked down and at home and not having to go to work, that there will be amazing concepts and technology that comes out of this time that changes the way the whole world works, you know?
Absolutely. It's probably like, you know, the way you look at it, even going back into the world wars, right? The World War One and Two.
Yes.
It was devastating. Like, don't get me wrong. Absolutely yes. Devastating what the humanity through. But the progress just went through the roof, right? It was just this catalyst of progress in so many ways of technology.
Invention
and medicine. Right. Even now with what's happening with the vaccine, right, and all of that. So it's all about how, again, I think it's like the mantra for the entire four shows. We can't control what we can't control, right? The only thing we can do is just to accept and make the best of it, because fighting it is just going to create more misery. And again, it's just even with that state management and tapping in with how you feel, and that it's okay to feel the entire range of emotions because you're a human.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's beautiful because I would never exchange it for anything else. You know, even if we feel like shit sometimes, it's okay because it's just, you can learn so much about yourself if you just allow a different way of perception of not saying it's bad. It's not bad. It just is.
It just is.
Like, what's the baseline for your existence at that moment in time? And again, like, the only constant is change. It will change. Nothing lasts forever. It all moves.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we have a very good saying, everything, you know, everything passes, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's why we do need to remember to live in the moment, because it just sometimes time just, you know, goes so quickly. And it's just, awareness, just, you know, just love yourself, allow yourself, and listen to yourself. You're the only one you have.
And be kind to yourself. Like, I think that, that for me, that's one of the things that keeps coming up from all sorts of places, is that not only being kind to yourself, that is first and foremost, you must learn to be kind to yourself and not be horrible to yourself, because that then reflects in your life. But it's also about learning to be kind to everyone else. It's about looking at that person who may be behaving badly and seeing beyond that bad behavior and just being kind, thinking, well, gosh, what's gone on in that person's life that is causing them to react and behave in this way?
What comes to mind as well, it's like the good old saying, remember I mentioned it before, happy people are not rude on public transport. If someone is angry, they are in pain. And it's, again, I totally agree with you, Tony. It's just actually holding that space and accepting, not taking it personally as well. Like, it's because it's nothing to do. Everyone is too busy saving themselves. It's not about you. It's literally about,
It is not about you. And yes, that public, I think it must have been on the news yesterday or sometime, there was that a public transport where a young man was just speaking appallingly. And definitely, before I would have looked at that young man and judged him and thought, gosh, you're a horrible human being. Now I look at that human and go, oh gosh, what's caused that pain? Because isn't it, Oksana? It's pain.
It is. It's all those bottled emotions, and when it's becoming too much, it comes out in different ways. It's about the anger and abuse, you know, all of those, unfortunately, you know, the violence. It's also just because you don't know how else to process, again, and this is the thing, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know yet how to process those emotions. You were not taught. It's not your fault. That's another thing.
Yeah.
How can we blame you if you don't know it? Like, what, we can't read your mind, right? The same as you can't read our mind. This is when it's all, again, awareness and understanding of what it is that you feel, and being kind to yourself and allowing to reframe those feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. So wouldn't it be good if someone found that young man, sat down with him and explored the reasons behind that anger, whatever it was, rather than he will be picked up by the police and he will enter the judicial system, which historically will re-injure him and his self-esteem and everything else. But what if, you know, what if we said, okay, Oksana, go find that young man and fix him?
I would love to have a chat. Do you know what else? It's so funny, but what came up as well in terms of just actually having a conversation. I remember a few years ago, still at the time, my sister-in-law, we watched a horror movie. It was like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And at the end of the movie, I literally, like, I looked at her and I said, but what if just someone would just sit down and have a chat with this guy? Like, why is everyone so, you know, is afraid, fair enough, because there is violence, but why not, like, it's all, you know, and also angry, being angry, it's the repressed form of love, right? So clearly there was not enough love, or love gone wrong in some way. But just having those constructive conversations, not taking it personally. Again, there is nothing to do. Anyway, it's probably a very, very far-fetched, you know, example to talk to a crazy person with the saw chain. But do you know what I mean? Like, the vibe is like, why not just having a chat? Like, why not not putting people in boxes and stereotyping and projecting and try to, like, because we figured them out, because it's easier for you, why not making that effort to actually get to know them, create rapport?
Hey, buddy, what's going on with you?
Exactly. Understand them. Try to understand them. Most likely we will never be able to feel what they feel because of it's their life, but just make that effort. And that's all, just humanity. I think we're forgetting so many things about humanity. And again, COVID reminds me about it.
I think that this time, what do you think, Wendy?
I totally agree. I think it's a time to sit down and reflect. It's a time where parents can reconnect with their children, because the children are home in some of the states. They're home. They've got the extra time. They're actually now realizing that if parents or one of the parents are at home working, they're far better, more productive at home, because they're in an environment that they're a lot happier within themselves. They don't have the travelling time. They can focus a lot more. So I think if this is the way of the future, I think it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful for everybody.
Yeah.
There is a period of transformation and resistance, because it's the new, right? Yes. And it's so very often, because it's like, what do we do with this, because it's new? But as soon as that time is going to pass, and I think we're slowly getting to that stage of acceptance, right? It happened. Yes. We're definitely aware of it. Now it's like, well, fuck, we definitely can't do anything about it. So we either accept it or we don't, right? And that's when slowly, slowly, I'm fascinated. And I think we've touched upon this before.
I agree with you.
Our ancestors, they lived through World War I and II and all of the other horrible things. Our life journey is pandemic and what's yet to come out of it.
Yeah.
They do say that if you have something that's really bad, then at the opposite end of the scale, something really good comes out of it.
Totally. Yes.
And that's what I like to believe too. Like, I would really like to see that innovation and the change in the way that we think about things, the change in the way that we treat people, the unity, equality, all of those things would be amazing for humanity. And if that is what we've had to go through via COVID to get to that point, what an amazing outcome that we as humans have experienced and are so lucky and privileged to live in this time. And back to Oksana's comment about the vaccine, like the speed with which they have developed a vaccine or are developing a vaccine, if we had seen that in other vaccine or medication development, wow, we'd have a cure for cancer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's just actually proving what we are capable of as humans if we're backed into a corner. And that's where we should be living that way all the time. Yeah? That higher consciousness, thinking about everyone else, being kind to each other, equality, all of those concepts are rising up out of this time, and that's spectacular for humanity, don't you think, girls?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. Again, it's the way you look at things, right? There's this thing, and then there are so many different angles on how you can look at it and what you can get out. The choice is yours. That's the thing. Just get inspired and allow yourself to explore different opportunities in your life, in the thought process, in state management, just in all your relationships. And even more importantly, start with yourself. That relationship with yourself, that internal dialogue. How are you with yourself? You're the only one you have. Yep. So it's probably, again, I think I've said this before, my favorite quote by RuPaul is, it's like, cupcake, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? So
definitely. Give yourself a kiss every day.
Yes. Yes. And for some people, that's an incredibly difficult concept to get around. But as Oksana says, there's only you. At the end of the day, there's only you. Only you can bring out the best in you. Only you can change your circumstances. And only you can change what goes on between these two ears in your mind. And on that note, we are completely out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, Jen and Wendy. And
thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
It has been just a pure delight to come and talk to you each week. And I know that you've said that you'll return for some more shows. I hope that's sooner rather than later, because you have such a beautifully unique perspective on life, and we all love your Russian heritage and your beautiful accent and that gorgeous face of yours. So I will miss talking to you every week, but I'm assuring our listeners that I will make sure we get Oksana back on Radio Tony at some stage in the future. And thank you to our listeners for listening to Oksana's show. Thank you to the girls who joined us today. And we will be back with Oksana at some stage in the future. Thank you, Oksana, for coming on Radio Tony.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to what's yet to come. Thank you.
Fantastic. And that, my wonderful audience, is all we have for this week. We're going to sign off now, and I'll join you next week at some stage for more Radio Tony. Thank you, Oksana, Jen, Wendy, and bye for now.
Bye.
You've been listening to Radio Tony, Everyday Business, and I've been joined this week by my co-host, Oksana Johnson. Don't forget, jump on to Oksana's website, oksanajohnson.com. Thank you for listening this week, and we look forward to joining you next week with more information on everyday business. Radio Tony. This is your host, Tony Lontis.